Welcome to the Instagram Stories for Friday, August 22nd. I'm your host, Daniel Hill, and this is the weekend edition of the Instagram Stories. I am actually away this weekend at a convention, so rather than do a typical episode the way I normally do, I wanted to share an interview that I recently did with Bella Rose Mortel, who works at Beehive. If you're not familiar with Beehive, it's an email newsletter platform, and in addition to Bella Rose working for Beehive on the email side of things, she also works on the social media for Beehive as well. Here's the interview that I did with Bella Rose. Today on the show, we're here with Bella Rose Mortel. Bella Rose, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Bella Rose, for people who are not familiar with you, can you tell us who you are and what it is that you do?
Absolutely. So right now I am the social media strategist at Beehive, which is a newsletter platform for creators and entrepreneurs. But I got there by way of Morning Brew from the Branded Content Studio and Workweek, which is another media company where we work on B2B newsletters. So I was always doing branded content or like creating ads for newsletters. And now this is my first time doing organic social for a newsletter platform itself. So super exciting stuff.
That's great. One of the reasons that I wanted to have you on the show is that Beehive has just become such a huge name in the social media space over the past, I'll say 2 years or so, that I've really been seeing people use it more and more. For people who aren't familiar with the platform, can you explain what Beehive is and how people use it?
Absolutely. So Beehive started as just a newsletter platform. So it was where you would create your content-based newsletters and use Beehive to send it out. We've recently just released our brand new website builder, which is so, so amazing. So you can have a fully integrated website with your newsletter. And that has been a real game changer for us. Like in the past few months and even few weeks, as more and more people have started to use it and fully integrate like all their content systems onto Beehive. But a really big differentiator about us is that we have all these growth and monetization tools built into the platform. So we make it easier for you to get sponsorships and ways that you can gain more subscribers, all built within the platform. So you're not trying to, you know, use 16,000 different tools just to grow and monetize your newsletter and your content business.
There's so much I want to dive into there. So first, if someone doesn't have a newsletter, I personally have just started to get involved with having an email newsletter. It can seem a little bit intimidating to do yet another thing. Maybe you're so focused on your socials or your podcast or YouTube, whatever, that adding on to that seems a little bit intimidating. So why would you say it's so critical to have an email newsletter?
First, I would just want to say that, you know, having a newsletter is effort and it is going to take some work to keep it up. And you do have to be consistent with it to be successful. And that's just something I've seen, you know, like being kind of in the industry for the past few years and even being at Beehive, there are so many people who get started and realize like, oh, this is actually something that is a little bit difficult and something I do have to commit to. So I would just say like, of course, I want to tell you it's like super easy and it does when you have that habit down, but you definitely, you know, you got to put the work in. You have to like want it for sure. But I think a big reason why we see a lot of people beginning to start newsletters and gather email addresses of their audience and like of their customers is because a lot of times people feel like they can't trust social media to always reach the people that they want to reach. Like, of course, social media is good for distribution, but we all saw it when there was a TikTok ban and then everyone started running to Instagram Reels, or LinkedIn recently had a crazy algorithm change and people's videos aren't getting shown to their audience as much anymore. And their impressions have taken a huge hit. And that's just the kind of thing that I think a lot of these creators are realizing they don't want to live that way anymore. And they don't want to always have to rely on a platform owned by somebody else to reach the people who they want to reach and to grow their audience. So that's why it is like super critical these days, I feel like, to own your audience with a newsletter on Beehive, because you just want to be able to always have a direct line of communication with your audience for as long as possible. Because no one's ever going to, you know, steal your email list from you. So
right.
Hopefully not, I guess.
No, but that makes sense, right? Because people might use certain social media platforms less over time. Maybe, you know, years ago they were big on Facebook. Now they use Instagram, or maybe they've migrated away from Instagram and they solely use TikTok. So keeping up with people on all those platforms is a challenge, but at the end of the day, likely they're going to still use email for the foreseeable future. So that does make sense as a strategy. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Bella Rose to explain the difference between Beehive and some of the other email newsletter platforms that are out there, like Substack and MailChimp and many others. Stick around. Welcome back. I'm talking with Bella Rose Mortel, who works at Beehive, which is an email newsletter platform. And Bella Rose also works on the social media there for Beehive. We're talking about some of the other email platforms that are out there and how they compare to Beehive. I know there are a lot of other competitive tools out there similar to Beehive, right? A lot of people are using Substack. I think MailChimp has been around for years. There are plenty of other tools like that. What makes Beehive different? I know there are a lot of tools integrated with it. So can you talk about those a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see the biggest comparison kind of as of late to Substack. There's a lot of creators who are moving to Substack, but I feel like Substack is a little bit more for like a hobbyist blogger type of user. Beehive is definitely the platform you want to use if you want to build a creator business. So one of the big things with Substack, I know, is that paid subscriptions are a big way that their creators are getting paid. But Substack does take a big cut of their subscription revenue from the user. And with Beehive, we take 0%. So like all of the money you earn from your subscriptions, you get to keep, except for the Stripe fees. So sorry, but not my business on that one. But
That's fair. Everyone has the credit card fees now. And even when you go to a restaurant, they're charging you 3%. I don't love it, but I understand it's part of it.
Yeah. So that's the biggest thing. But like I said, I mean, Beehive is the place where you want to be to build your creator business. Like we also have this ad network built in within the platform. So you'll get served like sponsorship opportunities for your newsletter. And we have a whole team and systems built like within Beehive to send you great sponsorship opportunities from these very premium sponsors that like really will make sense for your audience and are catered to you. And we've had like so many great new sponsors like join recently, like Roku, HubSpot, the Black Tux, so many. Like I'm sure it's on our social media, but and then they just get sent to you like within your platform. Like you'll be in the editor and then a little pop-up will be there and it'll say you could be monetizing from this email. And like, here's this ad that we want to provision to you. So that makes it super easy. But that's just like one of the ways you could make money within Beehive. But the ad network is a really big one.
I want to understand more about that because I don't think I'm not familiar with this concept for an email newsletter having the platform connect you with sponsors. So is there a minimum number of subscribers you have to have or a minimum number of opens that you have to receive before you start suggesting sponsors?
So there's not a minimum size or anything for your newsletter. The way it works on our end is that these sponsors have like specific audiences that they're trying to reach. And so Beehive will provision their ads to the audiences that really make sense. But no, there's not a specific size. But you know, that being said, there are a couple of different deals. Like sometimes you'll get paid like per click that you send. Sometimes it's per open of your newsletter. So that is going to vary like based on your audience size. But I've had people like as early as maybe 100 subscribers get offered ads from within Beehive. Just know like your earnings are obviously going to vary based on like the amount of people. And so if you have more people, no, you don't have to have like a huge audience to get started monetizing.
I was thinking about, you know, in comparison to YouTube that I think requires X number of subscribers. I think it's 1,000 or whatever it is. And, you know, you have to meet that threshold of so many hours of watch time plus number of subscribers, whatever, before you can start getting revenue. So that's very interesting to me as a model that's how it works.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely factoring in like engagement and other things like that. So it does vary. And I don't have all the specifics on like off the top of my head, but no, yeah, like it is definitely a way I've seen a lot of people make their first like dollar from Beehive. So I think that's super exciting.
Yeah, I love that. Now, what if you're a person like me and it's really hard to sit down and come up with something to say every week or some people would even do it every day? How do you start to regularly produce newsletter content? And I think of myself as someone who I can type quickly, but my ideas come very slowly. And I struggle to say something unique that millions of other people aren't already saying.
Yeah, well, I think you have to realize that, you know, you have a unique perspective. Like every single person has a unique perspective and you are an expert to somebody about something. I think there really is an art in choosing your niche that's profitable. And it kind of all depends. Like some people who are curating resources and maybe posting job boards or doing things like that, it might be a little bit easier to grow a following because it's just like more simple. But there are also people on the way other end of the spectrum who are truly showing like their perspective and they're putting their deep thoughts into the newsletter. And they're like, this is my experience I had, and this is what I learned from it and what I want to teach you as well. So you could really go any way with it. It just kind of depends, I guess, on your time commitment that you want to add. Cause I know that some of these more like thought leadership newsletters, it is, you know, you have to think about it and you have to draft it and you have to like really put some time into what you're going to say. But you could also go another route where it's more of a curation and maybe make it a little bit easier.
Are there AI tools that Beehive has to help make that process a little more easy or quicker?
In terms of choosing your niche, I wouldn't say so. But once you know what you are writing about, we have a lot of AI tools like within our editor that can help you, you know, like tighten things up or even change the language of what you wrote or, you know, edit images within the editor. So that's a little bit more on the technical side. But there definitely are tools within the editor, like once you know what you're writing about, to make your writing process easier and a little bit more efficient.
That's great. I think there are some other tools within Beehive that can make it easier too, right? I think you have templates and different things like that. Can you talk about that?
Yes. If you want to get started writing a newsletter, I feel like one of the main things that people really stress out about is the design, because of course you want to have a beautiful email and you want to have a beautiful website. And we just launched a few months ago these newsletter templates that are truly so beautiful, and you just like click and you can choose your fonts. You can, you know, it has like blocks in there for you. So you just have to add in your content, which really takes away a ton of the stress that comes with staring at a blank screen with all these buttons and like you don't even know. Like I'm not a designer, and I like with my newsletter, I was like, I don't even know what I want it to look like. Like I need some help, you know. So there's definitely some newsletter templates that really help help you get started. And we have website templates as well. So if you are building out your new website, and again, like you're not a designer and you don't know what you want it to look like, we have a starting jumping off point for you, and you can customize it as you like.
So you could have a full website with Beehive. Like you don't need to pay a separate, you know, whether it's Wix or Squarespace or WordPress or whatever. You can have all of that on Beehive.
Yeah, you can have your entire website on Beehive, build custom pages, fully integrate it with your newsletter. People have built some really, really great ones. And they're all over our socials. We're posting them all the time. So if you ever want some inspo, you can see them.
I like that. No, but I think it does make sense to have kind of an all-in-one platform, right? Especially if you're going to be collecting email addresses on your website so that you can send your newsletter. It does make sense for the sake of, you know, your sanity that all of that lives in one place.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely made things a bit easier, I think, for these creators to not have to use, like I said earlier, like a million tools to run right, like your content business. So the fact that your website and your newsletter can fully be run on Beehive is just truly so amazing. Like it's such a treat code. I know I work there and I know I'm biased, but it really is just like so crazy to see like all of the things that our users are building now that they have access to this website builder, and like all the different things that you used to be able to build or that you can build on Beehive now, because before, like way, way back in the day, the websites were just like really simple, but now you can truly build anything you can dream of on the website builder. And it's just been crazy to see.
I love that. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Bella Rose about her strategies for social media, what she does to promote Beehive. Stick around. Welcome back. In this section of the interview, I ask Bella Rose about her social media efforts to promote Beehive. I know that you also work on social media for Beehive. Can you talk a little bit about what you do in a social media role at Beehive?
Oh, what don't I do in social media at Beehive? I think any social media strategist, social media manager would tell you that they're like wearing a bunch of hats all the time. But for me, I am the like community manager, content creator, and strategist for most of our social media. So that would be Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Threads a little bit. We do have a TikTok that's new. We have a new person who is like taking over our TikTok. And we also have someone who posts all of our tutorials on YouTube. So like those are a little bit separate. But yeah, I mean, we focus a lot on making our product content fun, basically. So I'm all about the little jokes. I'm all about you know, just making something that someone would enjoy seeing on their timeline. Cause at the end of the day, like the person seeing my post is laying on their couch on a Friday night and they just want to see something fun. They want to see something cool. So it's been really great that the team trusts me to kind of just do whatever I think is best and find fun ways to promote the product and not just be like, use Beehive, you know?
Right. That's actually one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on this show, because you have two roles, right? You have the perspective of here is what it's like to be a creator and produce content for a company for all these different platforms. And also, because you're working in the newsletter space, here's what it's like as a creator when you have an email newsletter or you want to start an email newsletter. So coming at it from both sides, I think is a very unique perspective. And that's one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on the show.
Yeah. I mean, being a newsletter creator, I think, is a whole different thing. I mean, obviously, if you're a creator and you have your social media and you have your newsletter, it is all integrated. It just like flexes the same muscle. But I think a newsletter is just like a way that you can really go deeper with people, because there's only so much you can do in a 30-second video in the attention economy, as we're saying right. It now on like Instagram, on TikTok, on even LinkedIn now, whatever.
Even the captions on Instagram or TikTok, you can only get a couple of lines in there. And who's reading the captions on a reel or a TikTok? Not many people, right? So
exactly. It's like, I ain't reading all that. So right. I feel like it's become very, maybe scientific isn't the right word, maybe calculated, that makes it sound bad. But just like people are trying really hard and they know how to get your attention. Like they know what kind of hook to use. They know like the pacing of a video. They know what sound effects to use that are going to keep you there longer. And I feel like with a newsletter, those people were really intentional about that. They wanted to hear from you. Like they put their email in their subscribe form and they signed up for your email and they are expecting to get it. And so I really feel like it's a much deeper connection you can build with people, because maybe it is a smaller audience than your social media, but it definitely is people who, like I said, are really intentional about wanting to hear from you, which isn't something you always get on like passive scrollers on social media.
Right. When you manage all these social media platforms, what do you do so that you can keep things straight and not get burned out and not feel like you're, you know, just running in a million different directions? Can you talk a little bit about how you stay on top of that?
Yeah. I mean, I will say that Beehive is very process light when it comes to social media. And so social media, like as a job, is kind of very reactive. So there are a lot of things that may happen on any given day and you just have to like, oh my God, like there's a new trend and we have to post this meme and we just need to do it right now. And whatever we were going to do, that will happen tomorrow. So there are definitely some like super stressful, maybe not super stressful, but like very, you know, like intense times like that. But yeah, I mean, I got a good scheduling tool. I use this tool called Assembly right now, which makes it really easy to cross post things to different channels. What I really like about that tool, my favorite thing actually, is that you can do like auto first comments, like on LinkedIn and on Instagram. So if you wanted to like add your hashtags or like add a link in the comment, like that makes it really easy. But in terms of how I stay organized, honestly, sometimes you just got to take it day by day. You got to plan ahead though when you can. I think we're usually planned pretty solidly like a week in advance, but social is a marathon, you know, so it just never stops. You got to be ready for anything.
Yes. This has been great talking with you, Bella Rose. Can you tell us where we can find you online so that we can follow your journey and what we can look forward to you creating in the near future?
Yes, you can follow me on all socials. Like my username is just Bella Rose Mortel. It's just my name. You can also follow Beehive everywhere on social media. It's just spelled a little bit weird, Beehiv. So you should follow us and like all of our content. So my boss thinks I'm doing a good job.
I'll link to all of that in the show notes so that you can get there directly. Please continue.
Thank you. Yeah. And then I also write a newsletter of my own. It's called The Personality Hire. So it's just my own thoughts about like work and life and career and all that. And I'm actually doing a little series on Beehive socials where I'm rebuilding our, like my own website with Beehive's new website builder. So if you want to follow along for that, we're doing that on Beehive socials as well.
So you're using yourself as the test subject and getting a new personal brand revised experience out of it. Is that right?
That's the goal. It's very new. We've done episode 1 so far and episode 2 is on its way. But that's the goal. I think it's great to see, like, if all these kind of like newer creators like want to see just a regular person doing it, I think that is going to be helpful. So hopefully it works out. Hopefully people like it. I think people like the first one, so we're going to keep doing it.
That's great. And that's on YouTube, or where is that?
Oh, it's on Beehive Social. So I'm posting it LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, not Twitter, TikTok, actually. Sorry, it's not for Twitter. We have different strategies.
Totally fine. And that makes sense. Many people have stepped away from Twitter and for their own reasons. I will link to that in the show notes so people can check it out and see your journey.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Bella Rose, thank you so much for your time.
Of course. Thank you. I hope it was helpful. I hope that everyone enjoyed the episode.
Okay, that's it for my interview with Bella Rose when it comes to Beehive and social media. If you'd like to hear us talk about a slightly different topic, stay after the music. If you would like to hear the AI news that we normally do on the weekend episode, you can look for AI news that you should know about wherever you get podcasts, and you can find the latest episode that Ashley and I did talking about this week's AI news stories that you should know. Okay, thank you so much for listening, and be sure to come back on Monday for Masari Monday, where we talk about what the head of Instagram shared on his Ask Me Anything. If you want to hear a little bit more from me and Bella Rose's conversation, stick around after.
Let me tell you a couple things that you should know about me. A product manager, but do not have a bachelor's degree. But actually, that's factually a fraction of me. Another fraction's posting content, irregular and irrationally. Still probably won't get a job at the gram. They forgot, they don't know, or don't care who I am. Ooh. That's why you never see me at the parties and events. My lack of followers must make me irrelevant. Yeah. Don't have a course, a book to sell to make a bag of grand. Not a social media marketer, don't represent any brands. No. Plain to see, don't have an agency. But I got a lot of spam, just putting in the work without the glitz and glam. Won't catch me eating fish unless it's shrimp or clam. No six pack, no risk, that there's a gym card in my hand. No, don't have a full-time job, but I got a lot of plans. Stay plotting, dropping knowledge on TikTok and Instagram.
I recently made like cowboy caviar this week. You know what? You know, like,
no, what is,
okay. What is, okay. So this is like a dip. It's a dip with like red onion, tomato. I put cucumber in mine. I don't know if you're supposed to. Red pepper, avocado, corn, and beans. Except I didn't put beans in mine because I don't like beans. So I completely took out the beans, and you're supposed to eat it with tortilla chips. But I made some, and I just put like salt, pepper, and olive oil on it. Like super simple. Made some yesterday, and it is so good. Like it's literally.
What makes this cowboy caviar? I don't understand.
I actually don't know why it's called that. I think.
Oh, okay, okay. I expected in my mind it was going to be like fish eggs, but you use hot sauce. I don't like. I have no idea, but I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. Maybe it's a Southern thing. Like I'm from Texas. I'm here in Austin. Oh. So I don't know, but I made it for the first time and it's so good. Like I just want to say like, it's a great refreshing summer snack. And if anyone wants to test it out, they should. Let me know your
What did you eat it with instead of chips?
Oh, I actually put it on a tortilla.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it's basically the same thing as having a tortilla chip, just like a warm tortilla, but, I wanted to eat it like a taco, so.
Very creative, and I love the substitutions. If you're not into beans, just don't use it. That's totally fine.
Yeah, don't like beans, so I'm not using them. That's it.